we have been considering how Christmas is celebrated in different parts of the world, and particularly focusing on how Christmas is celebrated by those of us who are in this congregation from different parts of the world. And this is my joy to share with you what I think of Christmas and how I celebrate it, and also bring you some thoughts from God's Word as what could be some attitudes that we should have towards Christmas as we celebrate these wonderful days. A few weeks back, when we were returning home from Bethany Chapel after the Sunday service, my wife was asking me, "Why don't you compose a Christmas carol?" Because I write Christian music, and they are mostly used in the Brethren Assembly. So I told my wife that I don't do it because it's not accepted in the Assembly. I have been influenced or raised in a Brethren background for the last 35 years, and I have had opportunities to minister in the Assemblies, but I want to tell you that this is my first message of Christmas in a Brethren Assembly. But I have had opportunities to speak to people, to speak concerning Christmas, and also go around caroling and do wonderful things as you people do here in this country. First of all, I want to tell you that Christmas is not very different from the way it is celebrated in India than what you do here. We also decorate our homes, but we decorate our homes with candles, lights, and we cut mango trees, and we bring the branches, or banana trees, and we decorate them, and we buy presents, and we give these gifts to poor and those who are in need. More than buying presents for the loved ones or immediate family members, this is a season where we buy presents and we give to people who work for us, or people in the church or the neighborhood. And there are times when, as an assembly, some of us have gone to visit the work of Mother Teresa in Calcutta, and we have offered, you know, some gifts and things like that. And we also make cookies, we make cakes, and we invite our friends, Hindu friends, home. And in fact, this is one opportunity where, you know, we have you know, Hindu friends coming home. Sometimes they would ask for us, "Where are the Christmas cookies?" or "Where is the cake?" And so we do that. But having said all this, I want to tell you that because of the historic reasons, the church that I belong to did not give any thought as how we can celebrate, you know, Christmas, because some of us who came from an Orthodox Christian background saw how Christmas is being misused, how it has become a kind of a ritualistic tradition of the church, and how it has become a kind of a commercialism. And therefore, we said this is all pagan, and therefore we have nothing to do with it. But I want to tell you as how I approach over and over again this issue of you know, Christmas, and what I have done in my own ministry. By training, I've been a Bible teacher, and early in my ministry, I decided that I should get out of my classrooms and get out to people and minister to them in the local assemblies and in villages. And as I have traveled to those places for ministry, I have seen wonderful opportunities of introducing Christ to my Hindu friends. Both myself and my wife worked several years in settings where we had many non-Christian friends. In fact, we continue to have some of the connections which our children made with non-Christian friends, basically Hindus, Brahmins, who come from upper class families, we sustained our connections with them. Once I was sharing the story of incarnation to a Hindu friend, and at that time we were about to leave Calcutta, and we were moving out of the city, and this friend of us told that your story of Christmas, story of Christ, is amazing. If you had stayed here, I think I would have become a Christian. But I told that friend, you know, you becoming a Christian is not tied to me, but you know, you becoming a Christian is something that Christ does for you. But I can do one thing, I can introduce someone to help you understand the story of incarnation and redemption that that we proclaim. And I was able to introduce his family to the principal of the school that I was working. Now, having said that, let me state before you some personal reasons why I take Christmas seriously. First of all, Christmas is a story of redemption. It's a story of God coming down to earth. It's a story of God's favor to all mankind. It's a story of God's love. It's a story of God's favor. And as we have heard from the text that is read to us from Luke's Gospel, it is something that God has given to all mankind. The Christ event is an event that should be heard by all people. And Christ is God's gift to us. Christ is not a gift, or God's gift of Christ is not limited to a particular people. The beneficiaries of Christ's redemption are people of the world. And therefore, I believe that a country of 1 billion people, a country of a great religious heritage, a country that has given birth to many world religions, a country that worships idols, a country that seeks after God, a country that is confused with rituals, need to hear the gospel that Christmas proclaims. And I am talking about my country of India. And if Indians don't have an opportunity to hear the gospel, I believe that my responsibility to my country, to my people, is not fulfilled. And there have been times where I had taken time to go out to my friends and tell them the redemption story. Let me give you a background in which I think of the story of redemption. First of all, Christmas proclaims a truth. The truth is that of the Christ event. The Christ event, which is an event in history. Therefore, Christmas brings a historical fact reaffirmed again and again in history. Now, Indians do not have a sense of history as they read it from their basic religious texts. Don't take it from me that Indians don't believe in history. Many of us have a sense of history today, but as we read the Indian religious texts, we do not get a sense of history as you and I think of history today. The Indian sense of history is that of a cyclical history, that all of you must have been familiar with the concept of birth and rebirth, the karma and transmigration. And therefore, you know, your life evolves around your deeds. You go around this cycle of birth and rebirth and birth and rebirth, where there is no hope of escape. Now, the linear sense of history, in which history has a progress, that it has a consummation, and it has a purpose, has been something that has been given to the Indians by the proclamation of the gospel truth. In other words, it is a Christian message that has given Indians a sense of history. And when I declare to my people that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, I am talking to them about a historic figure, a historic act. Now, people like Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi, who considered Christ, said, it doesn't matter to me if Christ was a historic figure. It doesn't matter to me if he was born in Bethlehem. What matters to me is a Sermon on the Mount that has come in the name of a noble person. Now that's a typical attitude of many Indians. But we affirm to my people that no, Jesus is a historic figure. And Christ even happened in history. That Christ is not a product of history, but he has come into history from outside. That Christ is not a product of man, but Christ has come into human history to transform human history. That Christ is not brought forth by the agency of man, but Christ has come into the world to make the sons of God the children of God. And therefore, history speaks for Christ. And what an opportunity for me as an Indian Christian to tell my non-Christian friends that Christ is born. Another reason why I think Christmas is very relevant to my people is because of who Christ is. That Christ is the incarnate God. That in Christ there is the full revelation of God. That Christ is not a partial revelation of God. Christ is not a man who became God. By the way, you know that there are many gods and goddesses in India. Some thousands of years ago, when Indians made a calculation of or a stock of how many gods and goddesses they had, someone accounted saying they had 1.3 million gods and goddesses. And each day we produce gods and many of them migrate to United States. And in my country, men or man become God. Sometime back I was driving to Wheaton College and I noticed a car in front of me and there was a sticker. It says, I worship the God within me. And I was curious who this person is, whether he's an Indian or an American. And I found that this was an American lady who is worshipping the God within me. Now that's a Hindu teaching. That Hinduism teaches that we are all divine. That I am divine. That man becomes God. But my Christmas message is that God became man. Incarnation is a miracle of miracles. There's a mystery in incarnation. That the omnipotent, omnipresent, and the omniscient has come into human limitation. And it is possible for you and me to know who God is through the person of Jesus Christ. Now, the Indians have a concept called avatar, A-V-A-T-A-R, avatar. Now, that concept says that God can take any form to do some purposes of, some of his purposes, like protecting the right of the righteous. So that God can come in the form of a man, in the form of a reptile, in the form of a bird, in the form of a fish. God can come in many forms. And he assumes many forms. That's why there are many people in my country who worship snakes, who worship birds. And why? Because they are all forms of God. But the Christian message of Christmas is that Christ has become man once for all. God has become man once for all. And it will not be repeated. And there's a purpose for which Christ has come. Hinduism teaches that God becomes man or takes some form to save the interest of the righteous and to destroy the wicked. My Christian gospel says that Christ came to save the sinner. There's a great difference between how we view God. Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. My friends, my Hindu friends, do not have a concept of God, a loving God. If you, in fact, see some of the Hindu gods, you will get a, you know, will be afraid to look at their face because they are so fearsome. Whereas the Christian gospel proclaims a God who loves you and me. So the message of Christmas is a message of God's love. It's a message of God's redemption. It's a message that God and me are reconciled in Christ. Should my people hear this gospel? Yes, they should. And therefore, what we do, because we do not have all these wonderful hymns, we translate some of these wonderful hymns that you sing into our languages. And we sing them. Okay, we sing almost all the songs that you sing here. And Christmas is a special time of sharing the gospel. So let me just make this point to you, clear to you. For me in India, Christmas is a time of bridging with people. It's a time of connection. The light that we put outside is an expression of the illumination Christ has brought into our soul. The gifts that we give is an expression of the greatest gift that God has given. And the songs that we sing is an expression of, and as we have been told this morning, expression of the joy that God brings to the ones who are being saved. Having said that, let me turn your attention to the text that is read to us. I want to bring before you three aspects of our attitude to Christmas as I look into the scripture. First of all, I want to tell you that we need to consider the baby that is being born in Bethlehem. As who this baby is, and where he is born, and who are with him or around him. The baby born is not just a human child. The baby born is God's child, or it's a God child. It is God incarnate. The baby born is the creator of the world. The creator became the creature. It is heaven coming down in the person of Jesus. The baby wrapped in his saddle cloth is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And as the angels are rightly proclaimed, he is the Savior of the world. Would this person is, he is God himself. Now, where is he born? He is born in a manger. Is there any significance that God chose a manger as his birthplace? And again, is there a significance why God chose that little village in Bethlehem, the most significant, insignificant place? Why he chose that place for his birth? What comes to me is this, that at incarnation, Christ has allowed himself to come into the frailties and limitations of mankind, that he has identified himself fully with our limitations and our frailties, and that in the act of he becoming a man in those saddest or the poorest of the circumstances is that he wanted to tell to the whole world that he is a God of the poor, that he is a God of the powerless, that he is a God of the ordinary, that he is a God of the marginalized. That's what we read in the text concerning the shepherds. Who are these people? They are not a great group of people in the society. They are people of humble origin. They are not very rich and wealthy. They are ordinary people. But Christ is being proclaimed, the Christ even is proclaimed to them, bringing them into the fold of that story, because Christ identifies with them. Now again, there is another contrast to the story, that the Christ even is witnessed not only by the shepherds, but also by the wise men. And I take it that these wise men are the representatives of the learned, the privileged, the rich. Now Christ is not being limited to a particular people, but his salvation is extended to all people. And as the response of these people have been a response of awe and worship, the attitude that we should have in this season should be a response of worship, a wonder at the child who is born in the manger, a wonder at God's expression of love to us. That in Christ there is a bridging of people, there is a reconciliation of people, a bringing together of people into one fold, where they can sing praises to God, where they can fall prostrate before God and say that you are God, you are Savior. I, as an Indian, is able to share this gospel of Christ to you because that gospel has come to me. And you are here as a community of people who understand my message because you have responded to that message. And therefore, look at the person who is born, the majesty of the child. And the loneliness, the humility that he has expressed at his birth. Secondly, I want you to know that by the Christ event or the Christmas event, Christ is teaching us, or rather challenging us, to take his own incarnational attitude. That it is by merging with people, it is by living in the midst of people, it is by going into the midst of people that you tell to the world that Christ is real. In fact, one of the missionary mottos that people have always affirmed has been the incarnational attitude. That we come down from our pedestals and our status quo, and that we go out to reach people with the gospel of love, with the gospel of grace. In this season of the time, can we ask this question? Am I reaching my neighbors? Am I reaching my friends in the community? What is stopping me or preventing me from reaching out to people is maybe my social status. I am so great and so big that I cannot reach out to people. But if heaven can come down, if God can come down, why can't we reach out to people? May this season be a season where we shall reach out to people. The shepherds responded to the announcement of Christ's birth by an attitude in which they made haste to go and see him. And they bore witness to the fact of Christ's birth, and they went around and declared to the world that Jesus was born. What would be our attitude this season? Our attitude should be an attitude of haste in which we want to tell to our people that Christ is born, that we would bear witness to the person of Christ. And thirdly, I want to tell you that in the story of redemption, in the story as it is presented to us, there is a question of our own response in which Christ always confronts us with the question of decision. that what you and I do to Christ in this season. That even as Christ has been born in Bethlehem from outside, that we are to prepare our own hearts as the Bethlehem for Christ to be born. And this is a verse particularly for those of you who do not know Christ in a personal way in which He is your Savior. If you are that person, this word is for you. In that, Christ expects you to prepare and to allow your heart to be a Bethlehem where He can be born. That the regeneration is an act of God in which He comes from without and that He regenerates you, makes you a member of God's family. Regeneration is not something that sprouts out of our own being. It is something that God brings within us. And that should be a wonderful response in this season. A decision for Christ. What you will do with this message. And may I, as I conclude, challenge your hearts this morning that this season of Christmas would be a season of worship. That this season of Christmas would be a season of witness. That this season of Christmas would be a season of decision making. And in doing that, we shall continue to enjoy the joy and the peace God brings to us. And that we will have the boldness to declare to the world that Christ is born. May God bless you and may you have a wonderful season of Christmas. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that it has pleased thee to take human form, to come to our own history as our Redeemer. We thank you that we can celebrate that fact as something that has affected each one of us. May we continue to enjoy the joy of the Lord as we celebrate the season of the time. May we continue to witness to the world that Christ is born, that He is the hope of the world. May we reach out to people in acts of love and service, that we will tell them that it is Christ who makes that difference in us. And that you are the greatest of all gifts to us. We pray that our sense of belonging, our sense of community would be enriched in such a way that we would have unity of mind and purpose in this season of the year, that we would together seek your glory. May we be challenged for great involvement in the things of thine, and to that extent we commit ourselves this morning. We offer this prayer in Jesus' precious name.